Americans, class of 89.
Do you see something, ma'am?
Oh, yes. I see many great things for you.
Yeah?
You have a wonderful life ahead of you, young lady.
Thanks for tuning in to Class of 89 on the Fangoria Podcast Network, where we take you behind the scenes of our favorite movies that turned 30 this year. I'm Natasha Pacetta, your host and vanguard of the vault over here at Fangoria, and this is our series on Puppet Master. On this episode, Barbara Crampton joins us to talk about her cameo in the original movie, how that ultimately led to her role in Puppet Master, The Littlest Reich, a look into her career in the late 80s, writing for Fangoria Magazine now, and more. Before we get to Barbara's stories, I want to tell you about Fangoria Magazine. Fangoria Magazine has never been better. With your subscription, you'll get a full year of the deluxe 100-page quarterly edition shipped straight to your door. You'll see familiar names like Fango veterans Michael Gingold and Tony Timpone, and bylines like S. Craig Zahler and Barbara Crampton. Barbara has an amazing, insightful column called Scene Queen in each issue. Go to Fangoria.com and use the promo code CLASSOF to get 15% off your first year. That's Fangoria.com, promo code CLASSOF. And I want to tell you about FullMoonFeatures.com. Full Moon Streaming has been reborn as Full Moon Features, your one-stop shop for shocking cinema. Browse and stream hundreds of titles from the Puppet Master franchise, Castle Freak, Evil Bong, Subspecies, Tourist Trap, Trancers, and so much more. Available 24/7 for an ultra-low monthly subscription price. New titles are added every single week. Subscribe today at FullMoonFeatures.com. That's FullMoonFeatures.com. Now let's get to Barbara's stories about the original Puppet Master and its legacy.
I had already done Reanimator and From Beyond, and they were doing Puppet Master, and everything was already cast, but I had become kind of part of the Charlie Band family.
Right.
So Charlie said, we have this very small role, and it's more of a cameo, and would you mind coming in and doing it as a favor to us? So I said, of course, yeah, I'll do it. Little did I know that it would kind of portend much a broader experience for me in the Puppet Master universe. But yeah, I was happy to be involved with the first one. And who knew that it was, you know, Charlie made 13 or how many movies? I've kind of lost count. Is it 13? Mm-hmm. I've lost count. Yeah. So I'm part of a franchise.
You are. And did you ever think, you know, from your short time on that set, that Puppet Master would become its own universe?
No, I think it's one of the longest running franchises in horror history. And certainly for Charlie, I think it's his most successful franchise. So no, I mean, I just thought it was a standalone film.
Right. Yeah. And like you said, it led to bigger things for you. Mm-hmm. And you just did Puppet Master, The Littlest Reich.
Right. I mean, I don't think that Dallas would have asked me to be in it. Maybe he would have, but I feel like he asked me to do it because I was involved with the first one. And, you know, Puppet Master, The Littlest Reich had some comedic elements to it, of course. And, you know, we have Thomas Lennon and Nelson Franklin and Charlene Yee. But Dallas also wanted to have some throwback horror movie people from the past. You know, well, right. I mean, Michael Paré is not really, you know, a horror movie actor,
Streets
but he
of
is
Fire.
A throwback. Well, Streets of Fire, maybe. I don't know.
Pushing it with Streets of Fire.
A little bit, but we're actors from the past. So I think he immediately thought of me for the role because I was in the original one. So that led me to this whole organization. So there are no small parts, only small actors, as they say. So,
I like,
you know,
that.
I was happy to be involved with the first one and, you know, all that's come after it.
And you were in that Empire Pictures, Charles Band universe mm-hmm. around this time. Mm-hmm. In fact, you did Pulse Pounders, which was a sort of anthology.
Yeah.
And that
it was a trilogy.
A trilogy.
There was a, yeah. They Well, I think they brought Jeffrey and I in because we were part of their universe, but they also did a Trancers takeoff mm-hmm. That was from one of their original movies. And who were the actors in Trancers again? It was Helen Hunt. I think it was Helen Hunt and Tim Thomerson. And then And then they did a takeoff on what was the last movie?
The Dungeon Master.
The Dungeon Master with Richard Mall. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they decided they wanted to do this three stories and put that out. But there was some problems financially and who owned the property. And so it was shelved for a very long time and not brought out. And I believe it was at a number of years ago at Flashback Weekend that they showed Jeffries and my segment for the first time. And then it was
Clergyman.
The Evil Clergyman. Thank you. And then it was subsequently released. I believe you can just Google it online and watch it for free now. But it's part of something that Charlie Band has in his collection that you can also purchase with other things on his website. Yeah.
And at that time, it obviously wasn't released, mm-hmm. Until much later in the right. 2000s. Did the whole Empire Pictures Full Moon shakeup, did that affect your career at this time? Did it color your choices, or was it kind of just,
you know, at that time, I mean, I was an actress for hire. I'm just looking for whatever roles somebody could offer me. So, it was a chance to work with Jeffrey again, who mm-hmm. I love him. I love working with him. And, it was a nice, role for me to play with him. I mean, we were clearly really in love in that short. Yeah. It's really a short. I mean, we were in love in Castle Freak, our characters, but we never really came together in any real way. But definitely in The Evil Clergyman, our characters did come together and have a few nice moments with one another, even though he was evil.
Boys.
And not really there. I mean, he was sort of a supernatural right. being in a way. And it was a fun role for me to play because he kind of I feel like he's really there and he's really not. But what he does is sort of use me as a vessel to actually come back into life. So he comes into my soul and takes over my body. And I become him at the end of the film. And I was asking Jeffrey, how would you say this line? How would you say that line? Mm. And so I tried to mimic him and become him at the last part of the film. So that was fun for me. But your question was about Full Moon and Empire. And, Charlie has consistently reinvented himself from starting his company very early on. And then it's very hard in the movie business to keep going, and he seems to be able to continually make these low-budget independent movies however he can. And, he had to start a new company and started Full Moon, and now, I think he's in his little niche. He's doing quite well. And so that was around the time that Empire was changing right. and going into Full Moon.
Yeah, I think that's the great thing about Charles, he constantly reinvents himself and, is successful. He's an executive producer on Puppet Master Lilith's Right, which is great.
Well, he's a showman, isn't he? And he loves all the creatures and the memorabilia. And that's a big part of his company, is getting people interested in the products that go along with the films. And Dallas Sonia is quite good friends with him, and they have a deal now to, he remade Puppet Master in its own universe,
right.
And now we're going to remake Castle Freak and have its own universe. But Charlie is not going to lose any of his universes for any of his movies, even if Dallas remakes any of the movies. And I don't think that's a deal that has ever been done in Hollywood. Usually when somebody tries to acquire a film or the rights for it, then sometimes the original creators don't get to continue on with their world and their own vision for their films. But Dallas has, allowed him to do that and said, I want to do this, and would you allow me to make this, but you keep your thing and I'll keep my thing. And so far it seems to be working out really nicely for them.
I can't see a downside to more puppets.
Right, more Puppet Masters. Are we going to make another Puppet Master? That's the real question. I don't know.
Hope so.
I haven't talked to Dallas about that. Maybe you have some inside information, Natasha.
I wish I did. I mean, We've got lots of puppet drawings of puppets to work with. So hopefully we'll see another Puppet Master and a return of you in some role. Can't be Carol.
No, I was dead, so I'd have to be reanimated. Oh, we could do a crossover.
Oh my gosh, a Puppet Master reanimated crossover.
That would be crazy.
Love that. Yeah. So in 1989, you had 4 years of pretty consistent horror work under your belt. Did you think of yourself as an actress that, you know, I'm doing horror now, I guess. Let me continue this streak? Or what were you thinking about?
You know, unlike a lot of the fans out there, I didn't grow up thinking that I was going to be a horror movie actress. I didn't know that this was going to be my home until really just recently. So at the time, I was working on some episodic television and horror movies and also doing soap operas. And I was taking whatever roles I could get, you know, that people would hire me for. I seemed to continually be offered roles in the horror genre. So, and work with people that I really enjoyed. I mean, I did a bunch of movies with Charlie and also with Stuart Gordon. And I worked with Jeff a lot and it was wonderful and awesome. And I got great roles. And so why would I turn those down? But I didn't think to myself, I'm a horror movie actress at all until I took a break from acting, raised my family, moved to San Francisco, and then came back with Your Next a number of years ago. And when I came back with that movie, I wasn't on any social media, but everybody on that movie was on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. And I remember Simon Barrett saying to me after the film wrapped, he said, we're not going to keep in touch with you by calling you or texting you a lot. If you want to keep in touch with us, you have to join social media so then we can talk to you through that platform. And I was like, really? I don't know if I'm a social media person, but I did it because I wanted to keep in touch with Simon. So I joined all those platforms, and now I feel really connected to the horror genre in a way that I never felt before. Also because I started going to film festivals with a lot of the movies that I was making. And back in the day when I was in 89, I was making films and before and after, we had built-in distribution. And so I didn't have to go out with any of the movies and try to sell it to distributors, you know, for the world to see. And this has become my life over the past, I'd say, 6 to 8 years that I've been traveling to South Korea or to England or to Austin to go to a lot of these film festivals, Barcelona, Spain, to the Sitges Film Festival. And it's opened up a whole new world for me. And after I did Your Next and realized, wow, this is my home and I want to reinvest myself in my career and in the horror genre. I feel like this is the place where people love me, I guess.
Oh, of you course. Know?
And that I just feel like I'm most familial with. And I feel like we have a family. We have a group. There's so many people in LA now that, you know, I live in San Francisco, but I go back to LA all the time and I get together with a lot of filmmakers and I feel like we're part of this group. So for a long time, I guess I was part of a group that I didn't know I belonged to. Mm. And now I feel I found my people. Yes. And I guess it was there all along. It's like Dorothy, right? In the Wizard of Oz, there's no place like home. This is my home. And it kind of, you know, I kind of tear up thinking about it because I realize I belong to this larger group of people that I adore working with and have so much I get so much creative inspiration from. So really happy to be here.
Barbara, we love you.
Oh my God.
I would say you are horror's ambassador. I think, you know, you're just a bright light. Well, in this community.
Well, thank you. What I've realized in working in horror for so many years now and back in it is that you can tell any story through the lens of a horror film. I mean, there's so much stuff in life that's very difficult to deal with and challenging. And there's so much at stake in a horror movie that the stories are continually very deep and passionate and meaningful. And that's what excites me about the genre more than anything else and why I'm so happy to continue to work in it.
What would you say is different about your career in 1989 compared to today? Mm-hmm. How do you see yourself then and now? Obviously, you're more defined. You found your home, as you said.
Right.
Would you say that you're more excited about the things you're doing now?
Very much so. I feel like my career is more interesting and fun and meaningful to me than it's ever been. I feel like in 89 and before that, when I first went to Los Angeles and I worked as an actor in 1982, I was just an actor for hire and I was just getting whatever job I could. And I also, at that time in the business, I feel like the roles were more clearly defined. You were an actor, you were a producer, director, and a writer. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like everybody does everything. There are mm-hmm. so many people that I've worked with that are also writers and also actors and producers. And I feel more connected to a larger part of the business than I ever did before. And I'm working as a producer now and helping to cultivate stories and helping to bring people together. And I just feel like the business is just, it's different. Now everybody kind of does everything.
Right.
And I also help other people that are working on things of their own that I'm not even involved in. And I'll just help them with whatever they need. So I just feel more full of the business and just more a part of it. And I like that. In one way, it's a little bit more difficult to make a movie today, because even though it's easier because everything's digital, it's harder to get funding.
Right.
It's, you know, you want to make
scrappy almost.
It's a little scrappy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel like it's harder today for filmmakers to make a film and then get asked to do another one and get financing for another one. It's almost like, I feel like early on, you know, back in the 80s also, there was a lot of need for video content. So you could make a movie and it could be kind of okay and it would come out on video because they needed product, and you could make another movie and another movie and another movie. But today, you really have to make a great movie, your first one, to be asked to do another one or another one. And a lot of the young filmmakers today aren't going to make a lot of money off of their first or second or third movie until they go up to a new level.
Right.
So I think it's more difficult to stay in the game and have longevity in the career. And maybe that's why a lot of people do other jobs, you
right.
know. And maybe that goes along with our culture too, because my husband is in financial sales. He's a bond trader and he's been doing the same job for 40 years. But today, it seems like the young people, they reinvent their jobs after 2 or 3 years. Nobody does jobs for 40 years anymore.
Know.
I mean, everybody's changing. So the world is changing. It just seems to be more fluid today. So, you know, it's kind of exciting.
It's definitely an exciting time. Yeah.
It's an exciting time of the business. Yeah.
And I love that you've branched out into being a producer and writing and, you know, of course, acting.
I enjoy writing for the magazine,
yes,
for Fangoria.
Yes,
I mean, that's the kind of writing I've been doing. I've never written a full script, but I've given plenty of notes on scripts.
Yeah, probably could write one now.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. Potentially. But I've been rewriting my dialogue for a very long time, especially when I was working on soap operas, because they had to create that, you know, a new show every single day. And a lot of times they were writing very fast. So,
oh, yeah.
They would allow us, if we asked, to change our dialogue. So I was always changing my dialogue. But now I'm working more in a story capacity on a few films that I've worked on, and really looking at the totality of the film and what we're trying to say and the character arcs and things like that. And that's very interesting to me. So I will give my 2 cents, you know, and give notes on certain projects that I'm working on. But I'm also enjoying working for you guys at Fangoria and writing a column and just about different things that seem relevant to today and things that are meaningful to me. So that's been really fun, and I'm really glad to be a part of it.
Oh, we're thrilled that you're a part of it. And you can subscribe at Fangoria.com.
Oh, yeah.
Get your subscription and read Barbara's column. All right. I have one last question for you. This is our class of 89 extra credit mm-hmm. question. What advice would you give Barbara Crampton 30 years ago?
That's a great question. You know, you hindsight is 20/20, and so what I didn't realize that I could have done back then that I realize now that a lot of young people are doing is they're creating their own content. So a lot of people are in Arkansas or Wisconsin or, you know, upstate New York, and they're wondering, where can I make a movie? How can I make a movie? What can I do? And you have to get together with friends and write something and film it and use your friends as actors. And a lot of the famous filmmakers that are working today, like Steven Spielberg and whoever else, started making Super 8 films. You know, that we always hear that right. story of when they were 11 or 12 and they started making their own content. And I didn't realize that was available to me back then. I went to school and got a degree in theater and then moved to New York City and did a little theater and then moved to LA and started working in television and film. And I'm an actress for hire, right? Even today, I talk to people that say, oh, my agent doesn't call me and I'm not getting out on enough jobs. And people say to me, who's your agent, Barbara? You seem to be working. And I guess I'm working because I worked enough in the business where I built up a reputation. But my agents still don't call me. I love my agents, but they don't call yeah. me with jobs all the time. I mean, I'm still creating my own opportunities. And I think right. you can't lose sight of that. You can't wait for the phone to ring. You can't, and I don't wait for the phone to ring now. And sometimes the phone doesn't ring. And I'm still talking to people about create. I have two projects that I've been working on for 2 years that I'm trying to get made that I still don't have complete funding for. So I think you just have to start small, making short films. And because film festivals are so prominent right now, there's hundreds of them that you can submit your film to get noticed. And you have to kind of hobnob with other like-minded individuals to create something. So I would tell myself back then, I should have learned how to be my own cameraman and, you know, shot some of my own stuff and made my own movies. Adam Wingard, you know, was producing and directing and writing and putting together his own stuff. And look at him today. Yeah. A lot of the guys that I worked with, that's why I was so inspired when I worked on Your Next, because every single person in that movie was making their own stuff. Amy Simetz and Ty West, they were acting in the movie, but they're also producers and directors in their own right, and writers. So it just feels so isolating. Where am I? I'm in, you know, Tennessee. There's other creative people that want to do the same thing you are. So just get together with those people on the weekends and make something, make your own content.
Yeah, create your own opportunities. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great thing to remember.
André Toulon, note the pronunciation, was born in Paris, France in 1907. Not much is known about his life in Europe, though from a very early age, he was involved with the family business. That was manufacturing, selling, and performing with puppets.
Thanks for listening to Fangoria Presents Class of 89. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or on your favorite podcast app. And follow Fangoria on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the horror content you crave. Class of 89 is a Fangoria Podcast Network original, produced and hosted by Natasha Pesetta, executive producers Dallas Saunier and Phil Nobile Jr., associate producer Jessica Safa-Vimer, art and design by Ashley Detmering, sound recording, design, and mixing by Natasha Pesetta, music by James Malone, for Fangoria, Brandon Minardi, Jason Koslerich, Rachel Wilson, and special thanks to Udo Kier.